When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, Husker fans, to episode 284 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvett.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we react to Nebraska's third consecutive win, a victory over the Boilermakers, and talk about our upcoming game against Michigan State.
All right, let me give this a shot.
You can find us on the web at HuskerPod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook.
I just sound like a creepy...
You can also connect
Yeah, that's count one, two.
You can also
three
connect
victories.
With us on Twitter.
Sorry.
By following HuskerPod at HuskerPod or email us at HuskerPod at gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals. That's cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know somebody who is, reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356.
Go Big Red! Speaking of Transylvania,
it's a great transition.
My buddy... I don't know if he's been on the show. He's probably had a voicemail before. Romanian Dan.
Oh yeah.
He did a text voice message. I don't know what those things are called. And he said his bold prediction is that the Huskers are going to win out.
I love it. You know who else made that prediction?
Was it a coin?
Mike Harvett did 2 weeks ago. I called it.
Okay. It was not the coin flip. I just checked.
I think maybe I actually said 8-4, but still.
Yeah.
We're on our way, man.
Damn, man.
I love
it. I
was
just messaging back and forth with someone about the last couple weekends of football and volleyball, and it's when has fall sports been this much fun? It's been a while.
It has. That's actually one
first
of my talking points.
First undefeated October in 22 years. Asterisk. There was a bye week.
Sure, but there's usually a bye week in October. Let's not pretend that it never happens.
And there's only like 3 months of football. So, yeah, I mean, there's a 33% chance that it's going to be in October.
Yeah.
Actually, it's probably greater than 33 because, well, I don't know. Let's not get into probabilities here. We've already butchered a Transylvanian accent.
Yeah. That was by far the most chaotic intro I think we've ever had on this podcast.
We are professionals.
9 years and we're still finding ways to screw it up.
I thought you were gonna say keep it fresh.
Sure. Fresh like blood. I'm gonna put in so many Halloween related references tonight.
Remember Pumpkin Man, the dancing pumpkin head guy?
What's his name? Matt Geiler's character on KXVO on their Saturday evening show.
I don't know the name, and
yeah.
I don't know the channel, but
it was
a local guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a mystery who it was for a long time.
No, it wasn't. At least not to people in Omaha. We knew that was Matt Geiler here. Oh, I guess you were probably in your Chicago days, so...
Yeah, but I followed...
Well, see, here's the thing. In the mid-2000s, a group of people, did their own, local version of a skit show, it was dead air, so they just were like, what if we do a whole bunch of random garbage? Like, I specifically remember they had a song... I think it was like an American Idol singer or something. There was a guy named Sanjaya. You remember Sanjaya? They turned a Michael Jackson song. I always feel like Sanjaya's watching me. That has stuck with me over the years. But
yeah, but weird things stick with you.
Yeah.
Now I'm watching it. I'm watching the guy with the pumpkin face dance.
Yep, Sanjaya was indeed a finalist on the sixth season of American Idol. So
oh,
yeah, that
okay.
Would have been...
That's who. But I thought you were saying it was a local thing. I remember that.
Oh yeah, Sanjaya. No. Matt Geiler, he's a local dude. He's been doing like comedy stuff.
No, I thought you were saying Sanjaya was a local.
No. They did a song about Sanjaya on their KXVO show.
Oh, about Sanjaya.
Oh boy.
Oh man.
Oh boy. No, they didn't do a song with him.
I thought you were saying he was on his local skit show.
No.
Dancing Pumpkin Face Man.
Okay, Dancing Pumpkin Face Man. Indeed. Wait, somebody's watching me isn't even Michael Jackson, is it?
I don't know, but
it sounds
that
like
doesn't
Michael
sound right.
Jackson to me. That's so bad. Do we need to throw away the first 5 minutes of this recording?
No, this is good. This is the content people want.
Oh boy. This is the stuff that we would, if we had a Patreon, this is the stuff we would cut and then leave in for the people who get the raw audio, you know?
Mm, but, is that what people do?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, if you're listening, consider yourself on the inside.
Oh boy. Well, so speaking on the inside, we kept Purdue on the inside of the century mark, right? For both running and passing?
Yeah. Well, I was going to still, I'm not ready to talk real football. I was going to say, what were you doing instead of watching the football game live?
Oh, I was at the Switchfoot concert yesterday. So I actually did not complete my viewing of the game until about an hour ago, and it's 10 o'clock on Sunday night.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it was at the Steelhouse in downtown Omaha. It's a new venue. I think it seats about like 1,500 somewhere in that ballpark. So it was great. The venue is like world class in terms of audio and acoustics, and it's just
cool.
Yeah, it's great. And the only thing is they had like, I don't know if they can take out the seats, but it is kind of interesting that it was like a seated type event for a rock show.
Rock and roll show.
But once Switchfoot came out.
Didn't you have like special access or something?
Yeah, I did the VIP meet and greet thing. VIP means nothing. It just means I paid more than the average person to go. But yeah, I did the meet and greet thing. It was actually a gift to my mother for her birthday. Not just from me, but from the whole family. My mom for ages, well, I guess for the past 20 years, she's been a big fan of Switchfoot and specifically the song More Than Fine on their beautiful letdown.
Fine.
Yep. That song has just kind of stuck with her because it came out right around the time that she was diagnosed with MS. And so that, you know, like that's kind of been like her theme song, fight song, whatever you want to call it.
Just okay.
And so they're touring that album for its 20th anniversary. Yeah. And so got to take her. And actually during the Q&A time, they had a thing where they let people submit questions. And so I asked them to share a little bit about that song and told them about my mom. And it so happens to be that they picked my question to answer first. And so John Foreman got to tell my mother directly to her kind of the story behind the song. And I don't know, it was kind of special.
Wow.
It was like
so when you're talking like, so are you like, backstage or
yeah it was like
front row or
before the concert, like a group of people were able to come in and like sit down for a couple songs and a Q&A session and a group photo and stuff. So yeah,
wow. I mean, I'm sure that's an amazing question, and I bet whoever previewed them was like, oh, we're answering this one.
Probably. I actually felt nice. Pretty special because there was probably about 100 people there, and they answered maybe 4 or 5 questions, and they picked both of my questions. It just means that.
What was
your
other question?
I asked them if they were ever going to release a B-sides album, because I'm a nerd like that. Because I know that they're a band that has recorded a ridiculous amount of music. Like, I hope one of these days, like when they retire or whatever, like they do some kind of like, hey, here's a box set of all the songs we didn't record, because,
What was their answer?
They talked a lot about how they could do it, but they kind of left it open. You know, they didn't directly answer it.
It's impressive getting half the questions. I mean, I feel like, yeah, the PR person was like, oh, we're answering this one. But the second one, then, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good question. Yeah.
So
did your mom enjoy the show?
Oh, yeah. Yep. It was pretty cool seeing her singing along to her song and stuff. So
awesome.
Yeah. I guess maybe I would call it kind of a bucket list type experience yesterday. So just happy I was able to do that for her. And yeah.
Well, as we talked about before we started recording, my phone did not die during the game this week. And it's not because I got a charger. I didn't. But because it was so freaking cold, I didn't want to take my hand out of my glove to reach into my pocket to pull out my phone. But I did a couple times, and I saw that you had a funny tweet in the third or fourth quarter about Harburg.
Oh, yeah. No, I just thought it was funny that everybody, like, just, I was monitored, because I knew the game was going to get spoiled for me. Like, back in the day, I might have tried to avoid hearing anything about the game so I could watch it fresh, but I was like, I'll just monitor it, make sure everything's okay. I was checking in on Twitter and stuff, and it was just funny seeing everybody be like, man, what are they doing? They can't leave Harburg in. This is stupid. What are they? This is ridiculous. He shouldn't even be on the field right now. We've got this thing locked in. And then they're like, oh, Sims is in. Thank goodness. It's for the best. Give him a chance. We're not getting anywhere with the offense right now anyway. And then, like, suddenly everybody's like, oh my gosh, put Harburg back in. Thank goodness he's back in. It was just,
yeah, man,
it was like,
I feel
whiplash.
So bad for Sims. Like, by all accounts, he's a great teammate and a really good guy, but he better not see the field again unless everybody else is hurt. Like, you just can't. He was in for like three plays, four plays, and he fumbled and it was returned for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Giving them a mild shot where they should not have even been sniffing one.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I mean, and that was the reason he got benched. Well, he got hurt, benched because he was hurt. But
yeah.
I seems like a great guy, and it probably does him no favors to come into a cold game in the third or fourth quarter. But I mean, he'd been playing for a few plays.
Yeah. At the same time, I mean, like, it's not like. It's hard because Harburg wasn't exactly like wowing people with his performance yesterday, but he got the job done when it mattered. So that's reason enough to say he should be the guy, you know?
Yeah. You know, I thought that was so you've watched it. You've watched it recently.
I have. Yep.
And he got that smacked in the face.
He didn't see it
until the last minute. And after the game, Rule was kind of critical. Like, he's like, their other guy didn't get smacked like that. He ran out of bounds. Like, come on. And then the question was like, why are you having right back in there? And then he gets nailed and fumbles on, like, was it the very next play?
It was the very next play, because I remember, like, even though I knew what, like, the storyline and everything is, watching it, it made me concerned. It was like, I hope they checked him to make sure he didn't have a concussion after the game, because it kind of felt like he was seeing stars.
Well, he had blood coming out of his mouth at that point.
Yeah.
Is what he said afterwards. I think it's really interesting in the offseason, and pretty consistently, Rule's been very conscious of talking about the importance of recovery and protecting the guys and taking care of them. And then when asked in the postgame why you have him in there right away, running into a hit the other way, and he was like, we're an option team. You got to run the option. I mean, like, he's fine. So there's a little bit of inconsistency there. But at the same time, it's a physical sport, and he's trying to breed toughness. And I thought Scott Frost would have been proud. I think the whole starting offense had on short sleeves. Rule himself just had on slacks, no gloves, no hat. I mean, he likes it. So I was, you know, pretty cold, but I'm just standing there. Thoughts on all that?
Man, I guess thinking about the game as a whole, I'm starting to believe, man. Mm. I'm starting to believe, because we beat Purdue despite the comedy of errors. It was still a definitive win. Like, Nebraska was clearly the better team yesterday, right?
Yeah.
We're having things happen that have not happened since Pelini was our coach. We're having,
like, what?
the field goal blocked and returned for a touchdown has not happened since 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long our kickers have been kicking field goals, but a 55-yarder in Memorial Stadium, I feel like that hasn't happened for a while.
Yeah, not since Alex Henry hitting 57.
Yeah, 56, so
57, yeah.
So things are happening that have me going, okay, let's keep this up. I think we need to have our breakthrough. I feel like we'll finally have turned the corner as a team. I keep saying we. I feel like the Huskers, our team, will finally have turned the corner when we finally get that big upset win over somebody that we're not supposed to beat. I think that's the thing that needs to be checked off that hasn't happened yet, that has not happened in so long. I just look at what Kansas did to Oklahoma yesterday, and I just feel like we're overdue for something like that. So I don't know who it would be against at this point in the year. I mean, it should have been Michigan, perhaps. But it's hard to beat cheaters.
Yeah, they stole our sign. So how are we supposed to beat them?
Yeah. I mean.
Oh, that's that. You know, it's this was coming in. This Purdue game was a 50-50, right? What isn't that what it was when we looked it up last week?
Yep.
And I was talking to someone who said the betting lines were almost even, if anything, going toward Purdue just because of all the injuries we had. And in spite of that, I mean, we handled them. Mm-hmm. There was a fluke play that gave them a touchdown. And then, you know, I don't remember. You've watched it more recently than I don't remember how much work went in. Did they get their other touchdown off of a short field turnover? We put the ball on the ground five times and lost it four times.
Yeah, I think it was. Well, I don't know. I'm trying to remember what their final touchdown was. I don't remember if it was after a turnover or not, and I just watched the dang game. But, yeah.
But anyway, so.
Anyway, I do want to say that it's alleged. There are allegations that Michigan was stealing signs. So it's allegedly they are cheaters.
Okay. Thank you.
Allegedly. My mouth is directly on the microphone. Can you tell? All right. Yeah. Backing off. they might not have cheated because at this point it's not proven.
I feel good about where things are going right now. And even, yeah. So basically, did you just say you're starting to maybe believe a little bit?
I'm starting to believe in this team. I forget who said it, but somebody was saying, like, I think this team is starting to believe in itself. And I think that's really important. Holy cow, for all the talking that we've done about culture over the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time where I can say, I think this coach is changing the culture for the better.
Yeah, no, you hear it in the post-game press conferences really clearly. And in during the week, I mean, guys are parroting his lines, which that's not because that's what they're hearing and it's starting to sink in and they're starting to believe it.
Yep.
Maybe not starting. Maybe they believe it.
Right. And I think of you might not have seen this because you were at the game, but just seeing Rule, like the dude just blew up with exuberance and joy, and he had a huge smile on his face after Alvano hit that huge field goal, right? And, like, it's just, I don't know, man. I want to play for Coach Rule is what I'm saying. I want to play for Coach Rule.
He's excited about the players. He's got the players excited to go. I mean, I feel like one of the things that we've all heard so many coaching cliches in our lifetimes, but one thing that I really like is the way he's talking about getting the guys excited to play, and he wants to have guys who love football, which not unique, but he, in the context of his this offense like letting down the defense, he's just like, no, these guys love to play defense, and they care about, he's talking about how they care about the offense. They want to pick them up, and so he, in previous weeks after, I remember an Anthony Grant fumble, and he was apparently saying to the defense, like, you guys care about AG? And they're like, yeah. He's like, let's go bail him out. And, like, he wants guys who to feel like when there is a fumble, and it's like, yeah, we get to go out on defense again. Yeah. And it's, I think the Nebraska fans have always enjoyed watching defense come out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's even more fun now when they're awesome. It's a really good defense. I shouldn't say awesome after the Michigan game, but, you know, it's a good defense. And so I'm really intrigued by what he's doing and the way he's getting guys excited. It's so funny that they keep showing these clips from his halftime speeches or his pregame speeches.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm not sure that keeps happening forever, but it sounds like he wants to give recruits a view behind the scenes.
Yeah. The one I saw this week, it actually kind of surprised me that they would let it out. Like, obviously, there's people with cameras who are allowed to be there at all times, but it was also pretty clear that the person filming him in the clip that I saw from this week was kind of doing it from around the corner so that they wouldn't see that they were filming it.
Yeah.
So
it was like sneaky. Yeah.
Like, and it's like one of those things where, like, I'm sure that, like, all the boxes are checked and the person has permission to be in there. It's not like it was actually a sneaky thing, but they probably were also trying to stay out of the way so that he wasn't aware and conscious of a camera being on him. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm sure once he saw the footage, he said, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go for it. So,
yeah. So the culture change is real, and, you know, special thanks to a terrible Big Ten West for making, you know, we can do rooting interests here in a second, which is maybe only the first or second time we've ever really had a viable rooting interest segment. We almost have a segment where we talk about having a rooting interest segment.
I like it.
So yeah, Harburg needs to be a little bit more careful with the ball. But at the same time, the offensive line is decimated. More guys keep coming in. The wide receivers, I mean, they let another Nebraska freshman wide receiver slip past the defenders on a play action again this week. Was it Jaden Doss? Is that his name? Who scored that long touchdown pass?
Mm-hmm.
Jaden?
I don't know the name. I just know what you're talking about.
Malachi Coleman. I did meet someone the other day who referenced Malachi Coleman.
Mm.
And I thought, for a split second, who? Oh, because Malachi is spelled M-A-L-A-C-H-I.
Right.
And I thought that was confusing for a
moment. That's what people say as a joke about Bible book names.
Oh, I've not heard that one.
Yeah, I've heard the joke that he's the Italian prophet. Malachi. I don't know if that's
PC. Is that a seminary joke?
No, that's certainly, no. The people in seminary don't, that's a little too lowbrow for, that's more
too
like.
Too racy.
That's boomer Sunday school teacher humor right there.
Yeah, that sounds more appropriate or more accurate.
Hey, did you know that in the Bible it talks about the Honda vehicle company? Because it says that the disciples were all in one accord. My favorite book of the Bible, it has something to do with coffee. It's called Hebrews. That's all I got for now. I was kind of channeling Will Ferrell as Harry Carey there. I don't know what that was.
You know, absolutely. I couldn't put my finger on it, but that's it. That's what you were doing.
Hey, if the moon was made of spare ribs, would you eat it? Heck, I would. Oh, boy.
I'm trying to pull up, see if there's any SP Plus we can use.
Mm. Back in the day, this is where I would be 100% splicing in a clip from that SNL skit.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Well, I'll say this much about the game. We are so fortunate that our defense is amazing because our offense is like, I don't know, man. Like I'm trying to think of like a analogy or something. Like it's like at the end of a war movie when like the platoon that survives, like only two guys are left unscathed while the rest of them are all like bandaged up and they're like still high-fiving each other, but they're all being taken out on stretchers and they got like gauze wrapped around their arms and foreheads and stuff. And, and Lieutenant Dan doesn't have any legs anymore. And okay, different movie there, but,
our pets' heads are falling off.
Yeah. It's just we have been decimated. And I would say beyond decimated, because the literal definition of decimated is to reduce one's numbers by 10%.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that? To be decimated is not to be completely wiped out. It's to have your numbers reduced by 10%.
You see, if I were to put a number value on it, I would have flipped it. I would guess that it had meant to reduce your numbers by like 90%.
Sure, sure.
Where are you getting your definition from here?
The dictionary a few years ago, because I was like, what on earth? So, yeah, so historically, to kill one in every 10 of as a punishment for the whole group. So, I guess the primary definition then is to kill, destroy, remove a large percentage or part of, or drastically reduce the strength or effectiveness of something, which is obviously the way that most people use it. But I guess historically, there you go. To the man who is to determine whether it be necessary to decimate a large body of mutineers. So we're going to decimate you by killing one 10%. Out of every 10 of your men.
We're
going to
decimate you 10 times and then you'll be gone. Or maybe then it would just be like 10% of 90% and then
anyway.
Having just watched the game, how many passes would you guess that we attempted?
Attempted passes?
Yeah.
I would say I'm going to go with 3 per quarter, so I'll say 12.
That's really close. It was 11.
Okay. That tracks with what I feel like I saw.
I don't know what I would have guessed. I would have guessed more than 11, though. We were 6 of 11.
If you had asked me, like, how many passes would be attempted in this game, I would certainly say more than 12. But, yeah, judging by what I saw.
I do recall that they had a really bad rush defense. So, you know, I'm glad that they stuck with that. We only rushed for the comparison stats I don't know. 31-14 feels like a more dominant win than comparing some of these stats. So first downs, we had 14, they had 10. We rushed for 155 yards, they rushed for 96. We passed for 122 yards, they passed for 99. I mean, in a vacuum, our yardage is not good.
But yeah.
Comparatively, theirs is terrible. Their quarterback was 17 of 33, just under 50%, with 2 interceptions. Ours was 6 of 11, just over 50%, no interceptions, 2 touchdown passes to their 1. Average per completion, 20 yards for us because of one big play.
Sure, yeah.
One of 6 completions. It was a Big Ten West knock 'em drag out fight against a bad offense. Although their quarterback was pretty shifty. He moved pretty well. I was impressed by him.
You know what's interesting?
What?
Purdue was favored to win this game in the win probability at about 12 minutes into the rather 3 minutes into the first quarter with 12 minutes remaining in the first quarter. And then from it was by the third quarter, it was up to and beyond 90% in favor of us. It's interesting. The graph kind of looks like the state of Oklahoma.
Nice.
A little bit. Not quite. Or you could say an upside down Nebraska is actually probably more accurate. But
You look at punts. Oh, so this is interesting here. Mm-hmm. Average yards per rush, they had 3.3. We had 3.2.
Oh, wow.
We just attempted 19 more rushes. We rushed it 48 times. They rushed it 29 times.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you got a quarterback who will never, ever, 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 like, I think it's great that we're running the option again, but it's not really the option if you never pitch it.
He pitched it today, or yes, Saturday. He pitched it like three times. I like screamed and made a fool of myself each time. I was like, he pitched it again.
But it just seems like every time he chooses to keep it, it's like, hey, you are voluntarily signing up to get your whatchamacallit rocked. Like, seems like every time he keeps it, it's like, oh no, I hope he's alive after the play.
Well, even on the time, one of the times he pitched it, he got punished. But, you know, that keeps him honest on the next time. So,
right.
You know, I was really delighted, honestly, that he pitched it a few times. I'm continuing to go down the stat line. And, again, without knowing, if you didn't know the final score, you know, maybe I'd think it was
maybe a lot closer than
17-14, not 31-14. So, I mean, we did get a blocked kick return for a touchdown, but they picked up a fumble, you know?
Yeah.
So we each got kind of a
we both traded a fluke touchdown.
They had four punts go inside the 20. We only had two. They had 350-yard plus punts. We had two. I mean, Boomshini had a great game, but their punter slightly better, averaged 47 yards to our 45.6.
Just because I haven't seen it anywhere else, are you the only one calling him Boomshini, or is that a thing?
I mean, I'm not spending as much time on Twitter as I used to be. I'm probably not the only one.
Did you come up with that? Or did you read it somewhere else? Oh, okay.
I probably stole it.
I want to claim that if we did,
that's the thing about Twitter is there's no original ideas. Everybody's just borrowing everybody else all the time, and you don't. That's the thing I get stressed about. Sometimes I'll be scrolling and then I'll have an idea to tweet it, and then I'll be like, wait a second, did I just read that somewhere else and then think it was my own idea?
Yeah.
I think that's happened a few times.
Yep. I actually had something like that recently with going back into the world of ministry. I was going to tweet something like, never trust a faith healer who wears glasses. But then I looked on Twitter and was like, oh, that's not an original thought, Mike. There are many people who have said things very similar to that. So
that's a good one, though.
But yeah.
Here's another interesting stat. Looking at time of possession, we owned it three out of the four quarters, 8:28 to 6:32 first quarter, 8:26, almost the exact same, to 6:34 the second quarter. In the last quarter, 10:29 to 4:31. But in that screwy third quarter, we only had it 5 minutes and 47 seconds to their 9:13.
Weird.
Did you, when that fumble happened and it was all of a sudden 24-14, did you think, here we go again? Or did you, what did you think?
Well, since I was kind of monitoring things from afar yesterday, I knew the result before I watched it. So what I did find interesting, though, is I stopped paying attention once we were up 21-0. I was just kind of like, okay, we're good. I don't need to be looking at my phone quite so often. But then it's Switchfoot, so half of the people I know were at that show last night. So I was talking to a friend. He was like, so did we win? I know things were going south. And I was like, what? I had a moment where I was like, you have got to be kidding me. How on earth could they screw this up? Because I think we had even had our field goal at that point, right? So it was like 24-0 before they scored anything, right? So
yeah. Yep.
So at the 24-0 mark, I was like, okay, I'll check it out later. And the funny thing is this venue, once you go into where the actual arena is, all your self service just dies. Like, you don't get any cell signal. My phone was showing the SOS thing I had to look it up. Turns out that my phone had zero signal, but it was still able to pick up enough of a signal from like some other carrier where if I needed to dial 911, I could. But like,
oh wow,
I was out of service, out of network completely inside
it's
that
nice
place.
Nice to know that they share like that.
Yeah, right, right. But yeah, so like I went back out into the lobby to look at my phone and be like, I had to make sure that we at least won the dang thing. And we had, so I was like, okay, I'll check this out later. But holy cow, like you would think, what, 24 to nothing. I think it was around like 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So like, you know, we're 5/6 of the way.
They didn't score any points until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They scored their first points with 12:23 to go in the fourth mm-hmm. quarter.
But I
no,
mean,
no,
who,
excuse me, 9:09 to go in the fourth
yeah,
quarter.
Yeah, who was that? Oh yeah, who was it that beat Colorado a couple weeks ago? Like the biggest comeback in school
was
history
Stanford?
For them. Something, maybe Stanford. I forget. Short memory if it's not Nebraska opponents, but like, but yeah, I mean, like that kind of stuff does happen. But I mean.
So to answer my own question to you, they scored with 6 minutes and 24 seconds left to make it a 10-score game. And I...
You mean a 10-point game?
10-point okay. game. Yes. I was tempted to say, here we go again.
Mm.
But I didn't, in my gut, feel freaked out. I didn't. Whereas during the Minnesota game, the first game where when I was
yeah.
there... I mean, that definitely felt like we did everything we could anyway. And, you know, we have a different quarterback, so.
You know why, Justin?
Why?
It's because of the culture being changed even over the last 8 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it's all the culture change that happens. I'm trying to make an interesting thought here. The culture change that happens during spring and summer camp is really more... banking a culture change, you know, it's all theory,
right?
And that, but then to see it happen, especially when you start off 0-2 with a narrow loss where you fell apart just like the previous season and then kind of fallen apart in the second game against a hated rival, I mean, these last six games really, I feel like the last like yeah the five wins here, we'll just not leave out Michigan. It's just been one building block after another. Now I'm starting to sound like Coach Rule. One play at a time. Why are we thinking about the big picture? Let's take it one play at a time.
Well, I mean, even the way he's talking about people. So I forget again. I'm terrible at this. I should start like bookmarking tweets or something. But somebody pointed out that somebody kind of like gave Rule a hey, just one more. Just one more win and you're bowl eligible. And Rule actually kind of responded to the person saying, like, what are you talking about? No, that's not what we're thinking about. We just want to go 1-0 every week. So I'm not thinking
he
about
said
bowl
that,
games.
But then he also said, do you just want one more? Like, I don't want just one more.
Right, right.
And then he also said something. I watched his and then I watched John Cook's press conferences back to back.
Uh-huh.
And they just have the same mentality, which is like one game at a time, one game at a time. Coach Cook is like, it was just game 13 in the Big Ten schedule. You know, they're the only undefeated team left, the Citadel, who I didn't even realize was that good at volleyball, was undefeated, but they lost. And he's like, nope, just another day in the Big Ten. But then Rule also made an interesting comment when talking about the remainder of the season. He said, do you think when a playoff team, a team gets to the playoffs, they think, hey, we could go to the Super Bowl? No, they're thinking, we got to win this game or
yeah.
we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like one game at a time. I thought that was an interesting flourish.
Which I think is especially going to be helpful going into this next week. And I'm not necessarily trying to turn the corner to talk about Michigan State, but like if there were ever a trap game for this team, it's this week. Like they got to keep their nose to the grindstone and get work done this week, or they could be surprised by a team that has nothing to lose.
Yeah. Let me just share another batch of stats real quick.
Sure.
That I think are interesting, and then yeah. we can move on. This is continuing the if you looked at these stats in a vacuum, you wouldn't think Nebraska won by however many we won by. I can't do math in a hurry. Was that 17? 3.5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
They had 3 sacks. We had 1. Hmm. This is bizarre.
PATs. I'm going to McDonald's tomorrow.
We were 4-for-4 on PATs, and they were 0-for-0.
Oh, jeez.
What a weird
That's
stat.
That's funny.
They,
yeah.
They were 1-of-2 on 2-point conversions.
They went for 2 twice, yep.
Yeah.
That is
and
funny.
And then field goals, we were 1-of-1, and they're 0-for-1. Points off of turnovers, they got 14, and we got 7.
Mm.
So, you know, just walking through all those stats, the one that really stands out to me is we rushed it 48 times and they ran it 29 times. Yeah. Our average wasn't quite as good by, you know, a tenth of a yard, but we kept at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's culture.
We, as they say, pounded the rock.
Yeah, there's a Mitch Sherman has an article on The Athletic about the boulder that Bill Callahan put into the stadium pound the rock on it.
Forgot
about
that.
And then it got moved when Scott Frost came here to sitting outside the Hawks Center. And it's still out there somewhere and you can find it. And I don't subscribe to The Athletic, so I was not able to read that article, but I'd love to. someone was commenting on it on the tweet. And again, you go to twitter.com. You don't go to x.com. So I'm going to continue to call it Twitter.
It does forward to x.com, though, so...
You from know, X.com
for somebody
2X.com.
Who insists on pronouncing GIF as JIF because the creator says that's how you pronounce it, like, you're not really honoring the wishes of the owner of X,
I just went to Twitter.com, and I'm still at Twitter.com. What are you talking about?
Oh, I've had, I guess maybe I've shared a bunch of links, and they end up being shared as X.com links.
Okay, I'm putting in X.com. We'll see. I thought the person who owned X.com wasn't giving it up.
No.
Okay, it does forward to Twitter now.
No, there was some kind of wonky trademark or copyright thing with X back in the 90s, but...
What was I just saying?
I said the 90s. That would have been the 2000s, but yeah. You're talking about pounding the rock and Bill Callahan and...
Oh,
I don't remember where we went.
Commented on the thread, the Twitter thread, that owns like a landscaping company and had some insight on what it takes to move a massive boulder and how much a boulder that big would cost, and it's just not worth the time and money to move it. Michigan State.
Justin, here's my prediction. We're going to win this, and here's okay. why. Allow me to read to you the most recent 5, 6, 7 sports stories for the Michigan State Spartans on ESPN's website. Here are the headlines. Newbin runs for 204 yards in first significant action. Minnesota beats Michigan State 27-12. That's fine. That's a sports update, right? Mm-hmm. Next headline. Tucker violated sexual misconduct rules, MSU. Oh, next yeah. headline. Spartans lineman to miss half over personal foul. Next headline, this week's bad beats leave Scott Van Pelt flabbergasted. Next headline, MSU suspends staffer. Next headline, Spartans apologize for Hitler image on big screen.
Oh my goodness.
When approximately 1 out of every 5 articles on your ESPN page has nothing to do with the sport... That's a problem. I feel bad for those kids.
Yeah.
But yeah. as the team that is playing Michigan State this week, oh, man, Justin, you got to think we're going bowling, man.
I like your optimism. That's great. Yeah? You think we're going bowling?
I think we're going. I said it 2 weeks ago.
I'm not content with one more win, but I would like to get it this one more win this weekend.
It would be nice to lock in the bowl game, and then I think we could enjoy the rest of the year a little bit.
Everything else is just gravy at that point, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a really random comment. Did you see that Tristan Jebbia almost played for Ohio State?
I saw your tweet. I thought it was hilarious.
He's 25 years old. Sometimes you just got to let the dream go. I don't know who needs to hear this today in the Husker Pod listenership. But listener, if it's you, sometimes you got to move on.
Well, I don't have much to say about Michigan State except for that they've lost their last six games in a row, which I believe their first two wins, did they not precede Tucker's exit from the team?
I don't remember exactly when that happened, but they started off the season with a 31-7 victory over Central Michigan, and then they beat the Richmond Spiders 45-14, which I think is a lower division team. Then they had a matchup with top 10 Washington, which they lost 41-7. They will host Maryland 39-9. Maryland looks kind of beatable right now. They lost at Iowa 26-16, which they let Iowa score 26 points. I'm sure like two or three of those were offensive. Rutgers they went to and they lost 27-24. So, I mean, that's not that terrible, right? But then they get destroyed at Michigan, worse than us, 49-0. They go to Minnesota, who I think we would definitely beat at this point, and they lose 27-12 this last weekend. So now we got an 11 a.m. kickoff this Saturday. Yeah, the team is reeling.
If anybody is interested in a road trip up to Michigan this weekend, tickets on vividseats.com are available for as low as $29.
Oh, I bet they go lower.
So, yeah, if you want to take your chance, you could probably take the mega bus up there for about $4. And
is that still going?
I don't know. I haven't heard about the mega bus in about 10 years.
Mega bus.
So. Yeah, you could find a cheap way to get there. And then you get yourself a cheap ticket.
Harburg and Kim, their quarterback, I'm looking at the comparison here.
Mm-hmm.
He's got more passing yards. He's got almost 1,100. Harburg's got like 800.
But he has more interceptions.
Yeah, six touchdowns to six interceptions versus Harburg's 7-4.
And when you compare these numbers, you do have to keep in mind that I'm assuming Kim has started every game. So, you know, that's difference in yardage.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't look too much different if Harburg had been playing our first two games.
That's a great point.
For our guy to have one more touchdown, I think is promising, and fewer interceptions. Well, I guess, again, it's fewer interceptions. Maybe that's a, you know, splitting hairs at that point. But, yeah.
Harburg's our leading rusher with 104 carries and 446 yards and four touchdowns. Their leading carrier, 141, 609 yards and four touchdowns. Yeah. It's funny, Billy Kemp is listed as our leading receiver with 21 receptions and 216 yards. He didn't play this last week or half of the previous game. Their leading receiver is 29 receptions, 342 yards and a touchdown. I'm surprised Fedoni has, what, like three touchdowns now? Four?
Sure.
The matchup. Did you give the matchup predictor percentage already?
I haven't. We are favored. 53-47%.
Oh, man, you look at total yards. Look at this. Our total yard average right now, 322.4. Their total yards, 322.1. There's a 0.3 yard difference that we're favored with. Of course, they are passing and our rushing are a different story. We've got 132 yards passing per game. They've got 214. We've got 190 yards rushing. They've got 108. And they're allowing 360 yards. We're allowing 298. And we're allowing 79 yards rushing per game versus their 126. I mean, under 100, I think that's got to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like our chances. I like our chances. I mean, did anybody have a season-ending injury yesterday?
I didn't hear anything this time.
I sure hope not. And then maybe we'll get a guy or two back.
That'd be wonderful. You got me wondering, when we're talking about rushing and passing yardage. Okay, the forecast for this weekend in East Lansing is not too shabby. 53 degrees for the high, 42 for the low. So it's not going to be as cold up in Michigan this weekend as it was here in Omaha. So I was wondering, you know, if it's freezing cold, you're probably not going to see as much passing, but who knows now? If it's in the 50s, that's nice and, you know, that's toasty for November.
And as far as rooting interests go, we are in a four-way tie for first place in the Big Ten West. Wisconsin and Iowa also tied with us, and we play them both. Minnesota is also tied with us. Of course, they have the tiebreaker over having defeated us head-to-head, but they go to Ohio State, the second-to-last game of the year. So, you know, even if they, if we both win, or if they win out, we win out. This is funny. Again, we did this last week. On one hand, it's like, oh my gosh, I hope we can go to a bowl. And on the other hand, if we win out,
oh, I've been saying it, man. I'm calling my shot, man. We're winning out. It's
shot
happening.
Called, yeah. So, man, it could happen. It could happen.
Anything could happen.
What's gonna happen? What's gonna happen with Michigan? I don't have any idea what's gonna.
It's interesting. You know, yeah.
I mean, if we could get to the Big Ten West Championship and then get to the Big Ten Championship game and, you know, get destroyed by them again, maybe not quite as badly, and then something happens with this spy thing and they have to, like, vacate some wins, could we be the default Big Ten champion?
That would be hilarious. I'd be for it.
Oh, my goodness. I hadn't thought about that till just now.
Hey, think about how Michigan hangs on to 1997 and pretends that they're national champions, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This will be our way of saying, no, 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 we're the champions. By default, deal with it.
Yeah. What a weird season for them.
Yeah. Man, it's funny, too, because, like, everybody was just so impressed by them up till last week. And now everybody's written them off, whether that's fair or not.
Yeah, if anything, they're going to be playing angry, right?
Yeah. So it's just, it's weird. But maybe, hey, maybe we can pull a, you know, Wisconsin Big Ten championship rematch on them.
Mm. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. Best thing that could happen is maybe they find out whatever their fate is right before the game. So they're all downtrodden, and we come in and just clean up because they're all distracted and forlorn.
Well, hey,
forlorn.
Guys, we'll take this championship, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. You don't want it? That's fine.
Yeah. So, Justin, what's your score prediction for this week?
I don't know.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Completely cut it out of the last episode. Folks, to fill you in, Justin and I had a conversation about do we want to do score predictions again, and we're not there. Justin, I'm going to say this. If we go to the Big Ten Championship, we have to do score prediction for that, and we have to do a score prediction for a bowl game. Fair?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you've listened to us before the season, you know, like, when we do predictions, you have to predict Nebraska to win.
Of course.
So we've just been hurt so many times.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it, and I'm willing to do the work for it. If we make it to the championship and a bowl game, I will be more than happy to create the spreadsheet and aggregate all the information for the score prediction contest.
Well, look at you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, shoot. I feel like I expected more Halloween references, but we really abandoned that after the first part of the conversation.
We really did, didn't we?
That's okay.
Oh, well.
Did you want to talk about, like, movies that creep people out?
Oh,
or something?
Yeah,
or
yeah, yeah. This is going to be our closing conversation. What was it? My topic, you know, last week we were asking about, like, recommendations of whatever scary movie you like. But I want to hear from you, Justin. It doesn't have to be a Halloween or a scary movie, but, like, what movie did you see as a child that just, like, rocked your world and, like, you lost sleep over it or you had nightmares or it really messed you up in some way where, like, your behaviors changed because of it?
Huh. Remember seeing Cops as a little kid and being really afraid of bad guys?
Like, are you talking about, like, the TV show Cops?
Bad Boys. Bad Boys, yeah.
Huh.
I remember going to see, in theaters, the live-action version of The Jungle Book, I think.
There was a live. Oh, there was a live action.
And there was one of those, one of those movies where like bad guys kept dropping, and there was like a scene I can really actually picture it pretty vividly where, like, sand started pouring into an underground type space, and then the roof started coming down, and like, you know, they scrambling to get out, and the good guys get out, and I think some bad guys got squished. And like, honestly, that still kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, the getting the elements of getting stuck in like the sand like that, and then like this, it's like a bad dream, right? It's like the manifestation of a nightmare, and then getting I think I get a little claustrophobic, and so it's
I do remember it really bothered me. Yeah, in high school, Justin was known as being somebody who did not like to be restrained. So
how do you figure that out about someone?
I remember we like tried to like prank you or something. We were like gonna hold you down and like I don't know if somebody was gonna draw something on you or like force feed you something or whatever, but like the second people grabbed you, like you went into this like feral mode where like you were trying to bite people and like just it was like we were all like, holy crap. You're like, yeah, no you don't do that to me.
I don't like to be held down there. Yeah, that also creeps me out.
Which I mean, that's fair. I don't blame you at all. We were stupid kids.
I don't know if something happened to me as a child.
Eh, who knows?
Restrained against my will. So how's that for answering your question?
No, that's good.
The, live action.
Live action Jungle Book. You know what movie did it for me was Labyrinth.
Oh, that's creepy. That could be a creepy one as a kid.
My babysitter brought the movie over and put it on for me and my brother. The scene early on in the movie where the little goblin guys are like on screen and the baby
gets... They steal a baby, right?
The baby gets kidnapped out of its crib.
Yeah.
Freaked me out. I told my babysitter, listen, I don't like this. This is too much for me. Can we please turn this movie off? I am freaked out right now. You know what she did?
Laughed at you?
She sent me to bed. I just watched a scene where goblins steal a child out of its bed, and then I was sent to bed early because I didn't want to keep watching a movie that was scaring the crap out of me.
My goodness.
I went to bed and I was crying in bed, but even as a child, I was almost more offended that my babysitter would do that than the fact that it was actually done to me. I remember like lying in bed being like, this is a bad babysitter. I can't wait for my parents to get home. She's not going to babysit me again. This is awful. Like, even as like a kid, I recognize. I told my parents about it. I don't remember if she ever babysat us again, but like, I specifically remember lying in bed and I was almost consoled by the fact that I was like, I recognized like, this is crappy caregiving from my babysitter, and I know I'm right in this situation to have like to feel wronged, you know.
Yeah.
So thankfully though, no nightmares or anything like that. The only movie I can really remember giving me nightmares was when I watched Tremors on television about 1991, 1992. That freaked me out, and I had Tremors nightmares.
I'm looking at IMDb for The Jungle Book,
1994,
PG, and fun names here. I'm assuming this is the bad guy, is Cary Elwes, who Robin Hood Men in Tights and Twister, and then Kitty, who I think is like the love interest, is Lena Headey, who is Cersei Lannister from Game of Thrones and a bunch of other stuff. She's awesome.
Huh. Okay.
And then you've got Sam Neill had some role from Jurassic Park fame. John Cleese was in it. Quite the... And there's a bunch of acting animals.
Isn't that funny how you go back and you watch a movie from your childhood and there's like an extremely famous actor in it and you had no clue when you were a kid, but you're like, holy crap. Most recent one I can remember was the movie Mars Attacks.
I had a ton of famous people in it.
But Jack Black is like the meathead army recruit kid in that movie. And totally, like, had no clue who he was at the time. And because his character was so different, it's not surprising that when I finally like saw him in comedic roles later on, that it didn't click for me at all that it was the same person. But then I went back and saw it a few years ago and I was like, hey, wait a minute. But yeah. Anyway.
Lusciously filmed with slick pacing, good performances, and terrific music. That's quite the review. My goodness.
Who on earth is saying that?
Who's saying it?
Disney
the Little
Shill?
Songbird.
Oh, okay. Oh, hey, speaking of Disney, I guess we did talk about Ahsoka. We're good. I am letting my Disney Plus subscription lapse in about 2 weeks.
Okay. Any, like, last few things you're going to watch then?
I never got around to watching the second or third installments of the Disney Gallery stuff for The Mandalorian, so I'll probably catch whatever behind-the-scenes stuff that I haven't watched yet. But, you know, I'll get it back whenever there's a new Star Wars show. I'll jump in monthly, but I don't.
Did we ever talk about how disappointing
subscription.
The Secret Wars or Secret Invasion was?
I thought it was okay.
I
enjoyed it.
Well, I was actually reading comic books for about 3 years when that came out.
Mm.
And so was following along as it happened. It was very exciting. And I've watched 1.5 episodes and I couldn't care less about any of the characters. And I like, you know, several of the actors. I think there's someone, a notable person dies in the first episode.
Yeah.
I think it's a 6-episode series. I just can't bring myself to watch it. I don't care.
Yeah,
life's too short.
I will tell you this: the story wraps up in what many people would describe as an unsatisfactory manner. So, I don't think anybody blame you for not finishing that one. It's funny though; Loki is going on right now. I haven't heard anybody talking about that show.
That's funny. I haven't either. I did see chatter on social media that people were really disappointed about Secret Invasion, but I have not seen a thing about Loki.
Yeah,
you're right.
People aren't even talking about it, and I think it's been out for a month now. So, yeah.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Hmm. Well.
Yeah, we're getting a little long in the tooth here, man.
Yeah.
Probably should land the plane.
All right. Well, hey, go Big Red, Mike.
Go Big Red.